watching on Facebook, on Instagram, watching on YouTube, or listening to the podcast, it is great to have you with us. Has anyone ever been in a hot country where you're really sweating and there's a lovely cool pool and you dive straight in? Can we put it up there, guys? Thank you. Anyone ever been hot and you dive into a lovely cool swimming pool? Okay, we have a lot of aquaphobia going on. It's something lovely when you're hot to dive into a cool pool. Equally, I remember Denise and I, first time we went to Iceland, we went right up to the Arctic Circle. But I remember the first time we went was November, it was really cold, and there was this big outdoor swimming pool that was totally heated by geothermal water from the volcanoes they have up there. And I stripped down to my speedos, hallelujah! But I went in and I was frozen, but I deliberately wanted to be cold because I dived into that hot pool and it was gorgeous. So about 3 days later, I was still in it. I was my nature is always to dive in. I tend to like every human being I ever meet, unless they give me a reason not to like them. It's just my nature. And I tend to dive into things until I'm shown that I'm not to. So that's my nature. However, I'm here today to say there are some times you never dive in. There are times you don't dive in. So that's my talk today. I'm going to be looking at John chapter 5, at a healing that Jesus Christ did that I think has a lot to say to you and to me today. But I'm going to pray that this isn't just an old sermon, but that something of what is shared today would touch your heart and your soul. Are you up for that?
Yes.
If you're here, it probably means you're serious about your faith. So just as you sit, put a hand on your head and another one on your heart. Come into our brain, Lord, come into our thinking, and what is from heaven, let it register in our heads. And come and impact our emotions as well, and help us to hear your heartbeat, Heavenly Father. And help us, O God, to emotionally be in tune with what you're doing in our lives and in this place today. Bless us with your word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let me dive straight into it. John chapter 5. In Jerusalem, there was a pool called Bethesda. Now, when we think of pool, you might think of, if you're listening on podcasts, there's a photograph on the screen. We think of a little pond, maybe, or a puddle. But actually, the archaeologists tell us that this pool was the size of not one, but two Olympic-sized swimming pools. It was huge. So straight away the context is there was this massive pool in Jerusalem called Bethesda. Next piece of information we're told in John 5:5, many disabled people would lie around that pool, including a crippled man who had been waiting there for 38 years. So we know there's this huge pool in Jerusalem, and we know that a lot of people who were sick and who had needs are waiting around the pool, and it singles out one man who had been waiting there for 38 years. Now Jesus happens to be in Jerusalem. Can I submit to you? Jesus is here today.
Amen.
Jesus is in Jerusalem. And he goes and he walks right up to this man. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew he had been waiting there for a long time. We don't know had he passed him before. Most commentators think you could see it in the man's face. Very often you can tell someone's life in their face. If someone has been through a terrible time for a long time, it takes a toll. So this poor man has been waiting and waiting. Most contemporary versions of the Bible then go on to the healing. But that's not enough for me. I want to know, why are they waiting? And when I look up my NIV, the International Version of the Bible, or my ESV, English Standard Version, it doesn't really tell me. So I have to go back to the older translations to get the full picture. This is something I have always wondered about. So I went back to the King James. This is the New King James Version. And we're told in verse 4, it was believed that occasionally an angel might come and stir the waters. Then the first person into the pool would be healed from their disease. I always struggled with that verse. And I remember as a young Christian reading that verse and going, isn't there something unfair? If you have a load of people waiting to be healed, the water starts moving, and the fellow with the biggest muscles, or the guy who can hobble best, starts kicking the old out of the way, kicking the infirm out of the way, and he goes over bodies, and he pushes himself in, and he's the first in, and the winner takes all. That's not the kingdom of God. What's going on here? Let me just dive straight in. It's superstition. This was a local superstitious belief. An angel might come and stir the waters. No. We know that what was actually going on, this is a phenomenon in geography known as an intermittent pool. And this is where, depending on the rainfall level and the climatic conditions, because of the rock structure, that every now and again, when there was rainfall, the water would suddenly stir up and whirl around and then sink back down again. There was no angel stirring any water. It was a geographical event. But there grew up a false teaching, a superstition, that this was an angel coming to stir the water. So this man is waiting for something to happen that actually God never brought about. And I think even today, a lot of people are waiting for something to happen that God never told them to do. This man had waited 48 years. So before Jesus Christ was born, he was waiting at this pool and nothing happened. God forbid that any of us waste our lives, waiting for something to happen that God never asked us to do. God has a destiny and a plan for your life. Would anyone believe that?
Yes, amen.
Walk in God's will. Walk in God's plan. Don't waste our lives looking somewhere else. Let's look to where God has called us. So here we have, and we find out that this is really a superstition. And then we're told, in verse 6, Jesus goes up to the man and he asks him a very interesting question. Do you want to be healed? It's a whole other study. I look at it another time. Basically, it's yeah, but no, but yeah, but no, but yeah, but no. He wants to be healed, but actually, there's a part of him is very mixed up. If you look at his answer to what Jesus said, we're told in verse 7, he said to Jesus, when the water is stirred, I have no one to put me in the pool. And anyway, someone else always gets in first. You see, this doctrine was built on sand, on shaky ground. It wasn't built on the word of God. And this guy is deluded from this superstition. And so we get someone else always gets there. And anyway, I don't have anyone who's going to bring me in. So, what a strange answer to the question, do you want to be healed? I have no one, and someone else always gets in there anyway. Now, hands up, if I'd been waiting there for 38 years, I'd probably be a bit bitter as well. I'd probably be a bit frustrated. This poor man, his life was really difficult. So it's very easy for me, speaking 2,000 years later, to judge the guy. I'm not judging him. Honestly, I'm not. But he is looking at other people's faults. This is what happens when we begin to look in a direction that God has never asked us to look in. We end up taking our eyes off God and we begin to blame other people. You see this even in churches. You see it in all kinds of organizations. people turn on each other. And this man is getting frustrated. His family obviously left him down. His friends are gone. And there's always someone else that gets in there first. It's other people's fault. He's not in a great position. Maybe you're not in a great position right now. But Jesus Christ will still heal you.
Amen.
He is the God who gives hope. Don't give up. He comes into our confusion. He comes into our chaos. And he brings healing. Hallelujah. Let me show you a photograph if you're listening on the podcast. This is a photograph of the McCroom bypass. Has anyone here ever spent a long time trying to drive through the town of McCroom to get to Kerry? And it was all traffic. Who's had that blessed experience? Okay, there's a load of hands going up. I remember when I drove commercially in another life. And I would drive, and sometimes it would take me 20 minutes. I remember one day, there was a fair. It was a Thursday. It took me a half an hour to go about a kilometre through that town. And you know, the government, thank you government, they built a great bypass, a dual carriageway, a highway. And now you can go from Cork right down to Kerry, and it's a dual carriageway the whole way. And the people of McCroom got back their town. And those who are going to Killarney or Kerry can just zoom on by. Why am I saying that? Jesus Christ bypassed this superstitious teaching. He didn't take on the people there. He didn't try and sort them all out. Do you know the way some people are always trying to sort other people out? He didn't sort anyone out. Jesus didn't get out a loudspeaker and start preaching saying, "Repent of all your superstition. This is not biblical. There is no angel. Come, please, repent of all of this stuff." He didn't go and try and sort them out. He just bypassed the issue and he went straight to the man's need. Why am I saying this? Choose your battles.
Yeah.
Jesus chose his battle. He could have gone down a rabbit hole. He could have been months and years arguing different points. But he didn't bother. He just went straight to the man's needs. So there's a lesson there. So Jesus bypasses all of the superstition that really isn't from God, but he goes straight to the man's needs. You know, sometimes the Lord will just go straight to our need, even when we're all mixed up. Sometimes our life is a bit chaotic and we don't understand what is going on, but God in his mercy and compassion will just come straight and meet with us. And what I love, he doesn't always try and sort us out. He bypasses the issue. And what happens? We don't want to go back to the issue because we've something far better. And his name is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And with Jesus there is healing. With Jesus there is life. With Jesus there is hope. With Jesus there is salvation. Hallelujah. So he bypasses the issue. This man was paralyzed physically. But some of us here today are paralyzed by grief from someone we've lost. Or we're paralyzed with anxiety. Or we're paralyzed with our past. When Jesus reached out to that man, he is reaching out to all of us here who are paralyzed in some area of our lives. If he reaches out to you, will you reach back and touch his hand?
Yes, Lord.
Will you?
Yes.
Because this is the story of what's happening here. So he reaches out to him. And look what he says. Jesus said to him, actually he declared to him, "Get up, take your stretcher and walk." Now, I get the get up and I get the walk. It's a bit like we were singing how God helped us walk through. You know, he split the sea, and I find it hard not to just physically walk. Because every time we sing that song and I start kind of semi-marching, you might go, "What a nutter of a pastor." I don't care. Every time I do it, I'm reminding, my body is reminding my mind and my soul, I remember when I couldn't walk and God gave me the strength to walk through that problem. I remember when I thought it was over, when I thought there was no hope, but God helped me and I walked through the problem. How about you?
Amen. Amen.
You walked through it with the help of God.
Yes.
He said, "Get up, take your stretcher and walk." The bit I don't understand though is the stretcher. some versions of the Bible, particularly the modern versions, they use the word bed. It wasn't a bed as we know it. It wasn't like the bed you slept in last night. This was like a little bit of material. But for this man, I bet you he'd been on it for 38 years. For this man, this was something far deeper than just a bit of material. Let me take out a prop. Is that okay?
Yes.
Oh no, I'm afraid of props. Okay, well, tough. Let me show you, let me introduce you to something. This, brothers and sisters, is my deck chair.
Woohoo! Very nice.
Denise bought me that, thank you very
much. Wow.
Fantastic.
I love your ace-looking chair
again. Actually, I have another even better one at home, but you're not getting to see that. One at home, you'll lay right back. I really enjoy this deck chair. Last Wednesday, the sun was shining, it was mild, it was for me the real first day of spring, and at lunchtime I had been working in the home office, and Denise and I sat out on the decking, and I brought out my lovely deck chair. It was so lovely. Now we were here for 10 minutes, but I really like this. You know why I like it? I can put my bottle of water or my cup of coffee in the holder. I sit into it, and my body wraps around it, and it wraps around me. And you know some deck chairs, they're so mean, your head, your neck is getting sore, like they're kind of sitting like that. But in this one, I just lay back. Oh, God.
Amen.
And the Lord bless you all. I can't do it. Can I say I love it? You know what I mean when I say I love it. I really love the deck chair. Here's the issue though. Here is the issue. Jesus said to this man, take up your stretcher and walk. Why did he say that to him? Why was that part of the healing? Because he didn't want him to fall back into the old comfort. Do you want to be healed? Yeah, but no, but yeah, but no. I want to be healed, but oh, that stretcher is so comfortable. It has carried me for years. What's your comfort? What's your old comfort? Is it going to the bottle of wine and drinking a bit too much? Is it overeating on the chocolate? Is it retail therapy where you constantly max out on your debit or credit card? Everyone has an old comfort. Do you know what I do with this deck chair? This is the truth. This deck chair, I will never have it out in the garden if I have a day's work done. You see, I love it because I can just put it in the boot of the car. I can sit in it at the beach, in the park, in the garden, in the decking, on the balcony, I can bring it out. But if this is out in my garden on a nice day, particularly with dappled sunlight, I love dappled sunlight. You know, you have a little bit of sun and a little bit of cover. If that's out in the garden, right? Denise, why didn't you fix this? I told you to fix it. And you're handy with the needle and everything, right? You get the message. If this is up in the garden, do you know what it's like? This is true. If I'm working on a sermon for Sunday to bless the people here, if I'm working like that and that's up in the garden, it's saying, Tom, Tom, come to me, Tom. I am the perfect shape for your body, baby. You and I are just going to meld into one, baby. Come to me. You can sit back on me and I will support all your tired muscles, baby. Come to me. So it is going to be calling me. So every time it's a nice day and I'm at home, I can't see that. Because if I see it, I put on the coffee machine, I get my water, I get my book, I put on my Spotify music, I'm out there, I'm looking out, thank God where we live, we can see the sea, we can see the mountains, and I'm gum, 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 gone. It's a comfort. Jesus said to him, take up your stretcher and walk. This was part of his healing. Don't allow the old comfort to drag you back. I'm going to pray right now for any of us. I think everyone has something. But if there is an old comfort in your life, maybe you've conquered it years ago, but you know it's still strong, or maybe it's still real. If that's you, would you put up your hand where you sit? Just put up your hand where you sit. Praise God. Yeah, I know, it's a load of us. Could you stand? Just stand where you are. I want to pray over you right now. Would you stand and lift your hands? Lift your hands to God. That's about half of us standing. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray that that old stretcher, that old comfort, whatever it is, I pray in Jesus' name, just as that man heard Jesus say, take it up. I pray right now, you and I would take up our old comfort and we would get rid of it so that it doesn't tempt us to go back into the old, dysfunctional, paralyzed way of living. I pray liberty in the Holy Spirit now into your soul in Jesus' name. And if you agree with the prayer, you say,
amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's take our seats. So, brothers and sisters, get rid of the old comfort. It's not a comfort, it's poison. It's poison. And we don't need it if we have Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
At once, he obeyed Jesus. He took up the stretcher. He didn't leave it there looking back in it as it was saying, come on, you can fall back. He took up the stretcher. He was healed and he started walking. Praise God. Praise God. Here's one other thing I want to look at in this. And that is, we're told at the beginning, around this pool, there were multitudes of people waiting to be healed. Let's remember the context. Two Olympic-sized swimming pools put together, huge area. Scripture tells us there were five porticos around it. That's like big sheltering areas. We equally know that Jesus was in Jerusalem because it was one of the three big feasts in the year. There were tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pilgrims in Jerusalem on top of the local population. So there were thousands of people waiting for this fictitious angel to come and stir the water, waiting to see if they could push everyone else out of the way and come and get healed. And you know, I'm going to use the sermon today for my own personal therapy. Is that, Pastor Michael, is that okay?
You feel free.
Can I be free to get something off my chest? Okay. Here's something that really irks me. And that is people who say, how can God allow the trouble? My uncle or my granny or whatever, and he never healed her, and how dare God, I hate him. It really irks me. Because you'd hear that attitude about this. There were thousands of people waiting to be healed, but Jesus chose only one person. He's the God who leads the 99 and goes after the one. But there's a theological issue here. Why does God choose only one person? Why didn't he heal all the rest of the people there? It's a reasonable question, but if you think about it, it's not. Here's what I'm saying. I answer a question with a question. Why didn't they go to Jesus? Jesus was famous. All over Israel, he was doing miracles. He was raising the dead, healing the sick. He was doing miracles all over, not just in the Galilee, all over the Jerusalem area. Everyone had heard about Jesus. He was the talk of the nation over those years. And yet we see none of these people went to Jesus for healing. They stayed and waited on a bit of old superstition that that might happen. Brothers and sisters, they were looking in the wrong direction. And I would say, did they dig a hole in the roof? Remember that account in the Bible where the friends dug a hole in the roof? They couldn't get their friend who was on the stretcher. They couldn't get them into Jesus, so they go up around the side, they dig a hole in the roof, and then they lower the stretcher down before Jesus, and Jesus is amazed at their faith, and he heals the man. But these people are just waiting around the pool, you know. No. Don't ever try and make your way to Jesus, because that's too much effort. Just wait around the pool. Let's hang on to a lie. Let's hang on to an old bit of tradition. Whatever you do, don't go to Jesus. They did not dig a hole in the roof. They didn't, like thousands of others, wait in the wilderness, in the heat of the desert, let's call it what it was, waiting for when Jesus would come and speak. Neither, like the 5,000 or the 4,000, were they willing to go without any food, even though Jesus did provide, but they were willing to go without food so they could come to Jesus and be healed, and he healed them. Mark 2, Matthew 3, John 6, you can look it up yourself. Brothers and sisters, these people never did that. If there is someone in your family, or in your workplace, or in your neighborhood, and they are in need, can I challenge you and I challenge myself? Tell them to come to Jesus. Tell them to take a step towards Jesus. Don't be looking at superstition for healing. Look to Jesus. 1985, a statue to Mary started moving, apparently. Down your way, Henry, down Ballinasfittle. Do you remember that? Did you see the statue moving? You see? Yeah? I went down as well, and she... There was something happening. It was carried on in the English-speaking world, all over the world. I remember the American 24-hour news stations carried it, and there was a huge influx. I'm old enough to remember it. People came here, including many born-again Christians, who had no idea what Mary was or anything like that, and they came here saying, is this a new move of God? And all the local Christians here were going, what? That? No? Where does the Bible say a statue to, not to Jesus, to Mary is going to move? Huh? With the deepest of respect, not to all, I'm not knocking anyone. And I remember one woman in particular came, and she was the quintessential kind of crazy Californian, lovely lady, but she was very eccentric, and she came over to see if the moving statue would heal her or would touch her. It didn't. And a lot of the local Christians were rolling their eyes going, goodness me, have they any knowledge of scripture? Have they any discernment? The thing is, though, God sees the people's hearts.
Yep.
And if they're desperate, and if they don't know what's going on, God will meet them where they're at. But it is not as good as bringing someone to Jesus directly. The blessing in this, though, with that lady, is she was quite eccentric, that's okay. But she insisted on her son-in-law coming over, and a few months later he came over, and he was a pastor of a huge church on the west coast of America in Oregon. And he came over, and he saw straight away what it was and what it wasn't. But he started reaching out to the local Christians to connect with the local born-again believers. And he became a great blessing, a source of inspiration and wisdom to many of us then. His name was Pastor Ron Hassett. We had him preach at Grace in the early days a few times, and he recently went home to his eternal reward, praise God, and he's gone home to be with the Lord. So I know God can still heal, even when it's all mixed up. But brothers and sisters, let's take our eyes off superstition,
yep,
and take our eyes and lift them up to Jesus.
Yes.
Could I get a loud amen from
amen.
Anyone?
Amen.
This is the truth.
Amen.
This is the truth. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Only one person of all those thousands was chosen. Are we a chosen people?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're not here by accident. And you're not here because you said, Ira, I got to leg out of the bed. I'm giving a go this week. It's all part of God's plan.
Amen.
I know this is true, but for 45 years, I have been wrestling in my head, in a good wrestle, between two schools of thoughts, two schools of theology in Scripture. And if you're not into theology, and if you think, oh, I'm not, because I want to do a little bit of theology, is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, the people in the front said yes, the people in the back are going, ugh. If you say, no, that's too heavy for me, can I challenge you? Yes, you can. You can stretch a little bit in your mind. Anyone say amen?
Amen.
So let me just do a tiny bit of theology. This theological debate has been going on since the 1500s, and it's called Arminianism versus Calvinism. So Jacob Arminius came from the Netherlands, and John Calvin was in Geneva, Switzerland, and they came up with two different interpretations. Both of them born again, both of them loved the Lord, both of them wanted to do the right thing, but Jacob Arminian, he said, we choose God, and John Calvin, I'm simplifying it, said, no, God choose us. Now, most Pentecostal Christians, charismatic Christians, we would lean more towards Arminianism than Calvinism. However, I really believe the truth is somewhere in between, and I think both have a lot to tell us. The best explanation I heard of it was from a very old Christian pastor here in Cork back in the 1980s. And when I asked him, I loved his answer. He really had a heart for people who weren't Christian. He had a heart for the lost. He would often go out in the streets and reach out to people. And when I asked him, he said, every time I pray, I'm a Calvinist. But every time I go out and I evangelize, I'm an Arminian. Now, maybe you don't get that, but when he was praying, he knew God is choosing people. God is moving upon people. Yet equally, when we go out, we don't know who the people God are moving on. And you know what? The gospel is for all men and all women. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the gospel is for everyone, but for some reason, you responded. And people you know didn't. And I don't know the answer because there's an element of mystery in this, and I'm okay with mystery. How about you?
Yes.
It's okay to have a bit of mystery. But even though I am more of an Arminian, I am going to say there is equally a place where God supernaturally, when you were knit together in your mother's womb like we were singing earlier, there is something in your soul, that God-shaped vacuum in your heart and in my heart was so shaped that we responded to the call of God. When a brother or a sister who's got similar DNA to us doesn't even register, nothing is going on. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures that just, in my mind, tell us about how God chooses us as well. Michael at the Awaken service at 9:30 quoted this: before the foundation of the world, God prearranged good works for you to do. Good works for you, Lauren. Good works for Nan. Good works for Machette. Good works for Mira. By the way, Mira, this girl became a Christian in Egypt, in a Muslim country. What are the chances of that? But God's hand was on her leg. We'll say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He brings us from all kinds of places. Hallelujah. And before the earth was created, God knew the calling, the destiny, the good works he wanted you to do. Colossians 3:12, as God's chosen people. John 15:6, Jesus said, I choose you first. 1 John 4:19, Denise had a little Bible bookmark when we became Christians, and I always loved it. It quoted this verse: we love God because he
first
loved us. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. And that beautiful declarative scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. A holy nation belonging to
God.
You are a chosen people. You. And you, and you, and you down the back, and you in the middle, you and me, and all who love the Lord, we are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation belonging to God. So brothers and sisters, God chooses you just as we choose to follow him as well. Amen?
Amen.
God reached out to you and you said yes. God reached out to this poor man and he said yes. And when he said yes, he stopped looking in the other direction. He left the superstition behind. He looked to Jesus and he took up his stretcher and he walked. Hallelujah. Praise God. So don't dive into the alternatives. God is declaring to us, look to him alone. Will we say amen?
Amen.
Can we stand? I'm going to ask Sosha and the band if they would sing that beautiful song, Reckless Love. The story behind it is, I have been singing that song at home for months in my own time with the Lord. And I keep saying, gosh, we never sing it in church. We haven't sung it in about 2 years. And then when I planned this sermon, Zosia told me she had chosen this song, and this was the very song I wanted us to sing as we close. So brothers and sisters, some of us here need to realize, God has chosen you, will you choose him? We're going to give you the opportunity to invite God into your heart. The opportunity to repent, hallelujah, and turn to life, and turn away from distractions. And equally, we're going to pray that God would give you the strength never to look back to your stretcher. We prayed already, but I want to pray this into the future for the rest of our lives. Let's sing this beautiful song about him leaving the 99 and coming after you and coming after me. Let's sing it and then we pray. Sosha.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love.
Having a new life. He's calling you to turn from the old way, to stop looking that direction and lift your eyes to Jesus. We had 6 guys at the 10 o'clock service called out to God. Hallelujah. I know there are more here today. But we're going to give you total privacy. With every eye closed, if you want to call out to the Lord, if you want to repent, lift up your hand and show the Lord. So lift up your hand. See your hand. See your hand. I see yours and yours and yours and yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think we have five people who've put up their hands. I'm going to ask that we would all say this prayer together, but particularly those five, say it like you mean it, okay? Let's pray together. We'll all do it in solidarity. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I repent.
I turn from my old way.
Forgive me my sin. Thank you, Jesus.
That as I do this,
I am clean.
The
blood washes me through and through. So I ask you, Lord, be my leader.
Be my Savior.
And be my friend. I want to follow you
all the days of my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Can we give these five guys a round of applause? One, one. Michael and I, we'd love to give you a street Bible. We'd love to give you some other material about the next steps. Do come and see us after. We'd be honored to just talk you through that. Michek has a word that the Holy Spirit has given him that is tying in with the word today, Michek.
Thank you. Do you believe that our God is a living God?
Yes.
Do you believe that our God is a loving God?
Yes.
Do you believe that our God is a God of miracles?
Yes.
I believe that He wants to do some miracles here tonight, today, for us. And when Pastor Tom was sharing the word about not diving in, a situation from my life came to my head. And I just want to share quickly that with you. So it happened about 5 years ago. We were on holidays in Portugal, and that was the last day of our holidays. So I wanted to have some fun. So I decided to jump into the swimming pool, like I used to do when I was a kid. So we called it to jumping on a bomb. So you jump in the way that you make as big splash as possible. So usually you put your legs like that and you jump into the water. But I didn't think that I'm not a slim teenager anymore and the waters weren't too deep, so I hurt myself. I shouldn't jump. I jumped and I physically hurt myself. My legs weren't broken, but they were painful. So, you know, being a man, I was thinking, okay, it will go on. I was tripping, I was in pain, but it will go away. We came back to Ireland, it wasn't going away. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, the pain was the same. So I was thinking, maybe it's time to go to the doctor. But a thought came to my head, pray, pray. Your God is a God of miracles. Your God is a God of healing.
Hallelujah.
So I started praying. My heart was touched. I knew that I can pray for that. So I started, I was alone in the living room. And I started to pray for myself. I put my head on my knee. I was praying, praying, crying out. And nothing was happening. And then God brought to my mind the scriptures from Mark chapter 9. When Jesus healed a possessed boy. So his father brought that boy to Jesus, and disciples couldn't heal him. And the Jesus said to them, you unbelieving generation. But later on, he tells to bring the boy, for the healing. And he's talking to the father, and the father is asking, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. And then the boy's father answers, I do believe, but here's the interesting one. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. So I prayed those words. I prayed, help me to overcome my unbelief. I had some belief that God can do that, but I wasn't sure, but I knew that something is going on, so I prayed those words. Help me to overcome my unbelief. Heal me, Lord. I cried out from my heart, and that moment, I was healed. Completely healed.
Hallelujah.
The pain was gone. I could jump. I was very strong. So, brothers and sisters, I believe that there are people here who are in the situation that you already dive into the situations that you shouldn't. And you've been emotionally and spiritually hurt. You've been wounded. And you think, yes, our God is God of love, a God of miracles, but maybe this miracle, this healing is not for me because I don't deserve it. Maybe it's for others, but I've done something wrong. I made a mistake, so now I need to pay a price. But Jesus paid that price on the cross.
Hallelujah!
You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. But He is God of miracles. He is God of mercy. He is God of love. And He wants to bring a breakthrough to your situation today.
Hallelujah. Let's respond to that word before we close. Do you need a miracle? If you need a miracle, heaven is open above your head this morning. If you need a miracle, would you lift up your hand? Can you come forward? Let's take time from the devil and give it to Jesus and pray that God would come in. Let's come forward. Let the miracle be released. Hear the words from the Holy Spirit. You don't deserve it. Maybe you bought it on your own head. This man that Jesus healed, it is certain that he caused this illness to himself. It's most likely he was a violent man. He bought it on himself, but Jesus still, in his amazing grace and his incredible mercy, he healed him. So whatever your miracle is, put it in the palm of your hands and lift it up to Jesus. Lift it up. Release the miracle now, O God. Break the addiction. Cure the cancer. Heal the broken heart. Restore the loved one who is lost. We need miracles of all kinds, O God. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. We release the power of God. It is not us, it is you. And as in this house of faith, we stand on blood-stained, holy ground, and we lift our hands and we say, Jesus, release your miracle into our lives, or the lives of the people we love that we are praying for. And like Maciek shared, help our unbelief. We believe you can heal, and we have the faith, even though it's small, to believe. So break out now, Jesus. Leave the other 99 and come into our prayer and help us to see a miracle even today. Starting today. Starting in the next hour. Starting here and now. Oh God. Over you in Jesus' name. That memory that is haunting you, the light of Jesus is shining into the darkness of that memory, and I release you from its clutches and from its curse. God, would you turn the curses into blessings, and let every man and woman who left Bethesda and came to you out to the wilderness, got up early on a Sunday morning to be in here. God, recognize the move and recognize the sacrifice and recognize the commitment, and let these brothers and sisters see the miracle happen today in Jesus' name. Would anyone say amen? Hallelujah! Let's sing this one last time. Stand in our seats before we close. Sasha!
There's no shadow, you won't light up. Mountain, you won't fly up. Coming after me. There's no war, you won't kick out. Now you won't tear down. Coming after me.
There's no shadow, you won't light up. Mountain, you won't fly up.
and into 5 o'clock, and into 8 o'clock, and into 11 o'clock tonight, and right through the watches of the night. Let miracles break open our eyes.
Amen.
Let miracles break open our families.
Amen.
We break the curse of generations. And we declare, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Hallelujah.
And I speak in liberty into every home represented here.
Amen.
Jesus' name. And for the final time this morning, the people of God said,
Amen. Amen.